content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the American Council of the Blind email lists, starting with sound prints online from March 18th, the Worlds of Books meeting for 17. Tech Talk from March 26 has been archived. The NFB Pro Marrakesh Treaty. Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America, a celebrate 50th anniversary at St. Louis Convention. Marrakesh Treaty Senate contact information for the senators during their home district meeting period ongoing now. Assistive listening devices will be available at convention for those who are deafblind. The Tech Talk from March 26 was archived on NVDA and Windows 10 updates. A writer's workshop has been scheduled for the convention on July 4th, and there is a summary of the just-passed budget compromise also included in today's broadcast. The table on that is very unwieldy. I will not be reading that, but you can go to the .gov website and get the contents of that table. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. The Sound Prints Audio Magazine for March 18th is now online. Crossroads Conference, Let Your Journey Begin, APH Readers Theater, Marrakesh Treaty Introduced in Senate, Guide Dogs in Iowa, Walmart Expands Grocery Delivery, http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. On Monday, March 26th, Tech Talk presented Joseph Lee talking about updates with both NVDA and Windows 10. It aired at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern in the Pat Price Tech Talk training room at www.accessibleworld.org. Joseph discussed updates to two of his favorite subjects, NVDA and Windows 10. Joseph has tremendous knowledge of these subjects, as we have previously heard, and you learned a great deal from his awesome ability to teach. Co-chaired by Ken Metz, email kenmetz1946@gmail.com. Co-chaired by Alan Lemley, email walemly@gmail.com. All Tech Talk training events are recorded, so if you were unable to participate live, you may download the presentation or podcast from the Tech Talk archives on the website at www.accessibleworld.org. If you are a first-time user of the Talking Communities online conferencing software, there is a small safe software program that you need to download and then run. A link to the software is available on every entry screen to the Accessible World online rooms. Tech Talk also provides a Tech Talk discussion list. This list is intended to give you an opportunity to ask computer-related questions, suggest topics to be used in the weekly Monday training programs, or just to interact with others interested in using assistive devices to access computers. You may sign up for this list by writing to aw-tek-talk-discussion+subscribe@groups.io. Worlds of Books, which meets the third Tuesday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, will meet Tuesday, April 17th in the Book Nook Room of AccessibleWorld.org to discuss The Power of One, DB32638, by Bryce Courtenay. The Book Nook Room can be found at http://conference321.com/master-admin/room.asp-query-ID=RS7867A2369E0E. Here is the NLS annotation. The Power of One, DB32638. Courtenay Bryce, reading time, 19 hours, 48 minutes, read by Ed Blake for young adults. A novel portraying the rich mix of nationalities and race in the South Africa of 1939 and describing how one small boy learns to survive 5. PK is sent to boarding school at age 5 when his mother has a nervous breakdown. The only English boy, he is hated by the other children, all Afrikaners. A kindly trained conductor, Hoppy, teaches PK to box and to use the power of one. Some strong language for high school and older readers. Here is the Bookshare synopsis. In 1939, hatred took root in South Africa, where the seeds of apartheid were newly sown. A boy called PK was born. He spoke the wrong language, English. He was nursed by a woman of the wrong color, black. His childhood was marked by humiliation and abandonment. Yet he vowed to survive. He would become welterweight champion of the world. He would dream heroic dreams, but his dreams were nothing compared to what awaited him. For he embarked on an epic journey where he would learn the power of words, the power to transform lives, and the mystical power that would sustain him even when it appeared that villainy would rule the world. The Power of One, from the hardcover edition. Copyright 1989. The Bard website for that book is https://nlsbard.loc.gov:443/nlsbardprod/download/detail/srch/db32638. Mickey Prahan and Alan Lemley co-host. Please join us for this discussion. All are welcome. Mickey Prahan contact. MickeyPrahin@gmail.com. Alan Lemley, WALEMLY @gmail.com. About 15 minutes before start time, go to the Book Nook Room on Accessible World using the following link. http://conference321.com/masteradmin/room.asp query id=RS7867A2369E0E or go to the www.accessibleworld.org and click on the Book Nook Room. From the National Federation for the Blind, this legislative alert provides an update on our legislative activity. Please read it carefully to determine which senators need to be contacted and which topics should be covered. You might also want to consider meeting with your senator while they are back in their districts. The next district work period is scheduled March 23rd through April 8th. The Marrakesh Implementation Act was introduced in the Senate on March 15th by Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Other originating co-sponsors included Senators Bob Corker of Tennessee, Dianne Feinstein of California, Kamala Harris of California, Orrin Hatch of Utah, Patrick Leahy of Vermont, and Robert Menendez of New Jersey. If your senator is not on this list, please contact him or her and urge them to co-sponsor Senate Bill 2559. The introduction of this bill is the direct result of your great advocacy, and it is critical that we now work to build co-sponsor support. House Resolution 620, the ADA Education and Reform Act, was passed in the House of Representatives on February 15th and is now waiting for possible Senate action. The National Federation of the Blind opposes this legislation. Senator Duckworth has organized a letter opposing H.R. 620 in the Senate. So far, 37 senators have signed on to this letter, but we need 41 signatures to have a substantial impact. We are currently concentrating our efforts on the following 10 senators: Maria Cantwell of Washington, Joe Donnelly of Indiana, Martin Heinrich of New Mexico, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Doug Jones of Alabama, Will Nelson of Florida, Gary Peters of Michigan, Tom Udall of New Mexico, Angus King of Maine. These 10 senators should be contacted and urged to sign the Senator Duckworth letter regarding opposition to H.R. 620. You can contact your senator by calling the Capitol switchboard and asking for the office in question. The number is 202-224-3121. If you email your senators, please copy at jpare@nfb.org. It is critical that we move on this quickly, so please strive to make your calls and send your emails as soon as possible. I've also included a short sample ask that could be used for the items above. My name is so-and-so, and I am a constituent of Senator such-and-such. I am calling to encourage the senator to co-sponsor the Marrakesh Implementation Act, Senate Bill 2559. The Marrakesh Implementation Act would expand reading options for millions of blind and other Americans with print disabilities. I also ask that the senator sign Senator Duckworth's letter opposing the ADA Education and Reform Act, House Resolution 620. H.R. 620 has been sent to the Senate and, if passed, would significantly erode the ADA and set disability rights back 30 years. Thank you for your support of blind Americans. Sincerely, your name. Warm regards, John G. Parr, Jr., Executive Director for Advocacy and Policy, 410-659-9314, extension 2218, jpare at nfb.org. Disclaimer, the information contained in this communication from the sender is confidential. It is intended solely for use by the recipient and others authorized to receive it. If you are not the recipient, you are hereby notified that any disclosure, copying, distribution, or taking action in relation to the contents of this information is strictly prohibited and may be unlawful. This email has been scanned for viruses, etc., etc. Here is the press release regarding that bill from the National Federation of the Blind. The National Federation of the Blind applauds the introduction of legislation implementing the Marrakesh Treaty. Treaty will expand availability of accessible books for blind and print disabled Americans. Dateline Washington, D.C., March 15, 2018. Senator Charles E. Chuck Grassley, Republican, Iowa, and Senators Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, California, Bob Corker, Republican, Tennessee, and Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, have introduced the Marrakesh Treaty Implementation Act of 2018, Senate Bill 2559. The National Federation of the Blind was a principal leader in the development and negotiation of the Marrakesh Treaty, said Mark A. Rigabono, President of the National Federation of the Blind. By allowing the worldwide production and exchange of accessible books, the treaty will dramatically increase the availability of knowledge to blind people everywhere. We urge both houses of Congress to swiftly pass this legislation and, in doing so, unlock the doors to expand literacy for millions of blind Americans. The legislation will make modifications to United States copyright law to ensure that it fully complies with the terms of the treaty. These modifications are supported by publishing, library, and disability organizations. The National Federation of the Blind, NFB, headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland, is the oldest and largest nationwide organization of blind Americans. Founded in 1940, the NFB consists of affiliates, chapters, and divisions in the 50 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. The NFB defends the rights of blind people of all ages and provides information and support to families with blind children, older Americans who are losing vision, and more. We believe in the hopes and dreams of blind people and work together to transform them into reality. Learn more about our many programs and initiatives at www.nfb.org. Contact Chris Danielson, Director of Public Relations, National Federation of the Blind, 410-659-9314, extension 2330, or 410-262-1281, cell phone, CDANIELSEN at nfb.org email. At its meeting, March 19th, the Kentucky Council of the Blind Board of Directors voted to purchase two assistive listening device systems. The equipment will be in hand in time for use at the 2018 Crossroads Conference coming up April 6th and 7th in Louisville. This purchase was made possible through a generous donation from the Louisville Downtown Lions Club, with additional funding from KCB itself. At the President's meeting at ACB mid-year in February, Karen Campbell made a very impressive presentation on how her convention experience was made far more meaningful through the use of ALDs. Rick Moran also participated in the presentation. ACB has, of course, used ALDs for years, but Karen's talk put the need on a personal level. KCB's acquisition of this equipment is directly attributable to Karen's remarks. Thanks, Karen, for giving us the incentive to make ALDs available on an ongoing basis at Crossroads and our future functions. Signed, Carla Ruth Cheval, Treasurer, Kentucky Council of the Blind, Treasurer, Kentucky School for the Blind Alumni, 502-897-1472, Carla 40206 at gmail.com. celebrate with Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America in St. Louis during the 2018 ACB Conference and Convention. The RSVA luncheon will be held Sunday, July 1st. See message below from Janet Dickelman. Good morning, friends and colleagues. I am pleased and privileged to announce that Jennings Randolph Jr. has agreed to be our keynote speaker for our convention in July to help us celebrate our 50th anniversary. He is the son of late Senator Jennings Randolph, as you are aware, co-authored the Randolph-Shepherd Act. As you may also be aware, the Randolph-Shepherd Act provided a very unique entrepreneurial and employment opportunity dedicated solely to the blind and visually impaired community. As Jennings Jr. traveled the nation with his father during his senatorial duties, he would make it a point to stop at federal facilities, particularly post offices, to enjoy lunch provided by a blind entrepreneur. Also, Bob Humphreys authored the 1974 amendments to the Act while he was employed as a legal counsel to Senator Randolph. P.S., for you baseball fans, the name may ring a bell for you, particularly if you followed that team from St. Louis. Signed, Dan Sippel, President, Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America. Don't miss out on the fun. Make your hotel reservations today. Room rates at Union Station Hotel are $89. This rate applies for up to two people in a king room and up to four guests in a room with two queen beds. Room tax is currently 18.435%. Make telephone reservations by calling 314-231-1234. Be sure to mention you are with the American Council of the Blind to obtain the conference and convention room rate. Please contact me with any questions either via phone 651-428-5059 or email janet.dickelman@gmail.com. ACB welcomes Ms. Cheryl Brown, published author and personal branding expert, to the 2018 Board of Publications Workshop on Wednesday, July 4th. Board of Publications Writers Workshop, Elevating Your Brand. With the proliferation of boutique social media sites, personalized news outlets, ice bucket and Tide Pod challenges, funny cat videos, tweets going viral, and all the rest, getting attention for you and your message can be almost impossible. However, by portraying yourself and your message in a way that captures the attention and support of your audience, you can elevate yourself and your brand to new and dizzying heights. This year, Ms. Cheryl Brown, published author and personal branding expert, will provide information, tips, and tricks you can use to build your own powerful brand. About our speaker, Cheryl Brown attended St. Louis University and Indiana Wesleyan University, where she studied business operations and management. For the past 9 months, she has served as the director of social media for the Sigma Financial Corporation. She is also the founder and CEO of her own consulting firm, Bionic Social, which provides the financial services industry with training, consulting, and coaching on the use of social media and digital marketing. Cheryl also contributes her talents to a number of nonprofit organizations, including Autism Speaks, where she has been a contributing writer, and a St. Louis-based organization, Social Samaritans, which she founded in order to help people use social media to gain employment and a path out of poverty. Cheryl has also volunteered with Turnstone, an adaptive sports and recreation facility near Fort Wayne, Indiana, which helps athletes with disabilities to train for the Paralympics. To learn more about Cheryl and her effective and responsible use of social media for everything from personal and professional branding to job searching, visit her LinkedIn page at www.linkedin.com/in/insurancecheryl, Sheryl. The cost of the writer's workshop is $6, pre-registration $8 on-site. The workshop will be held from 1:15 p.m. to 2:45 p.m. on Wednesday, July 4th. Bullets dodged, some ground gained. A brief summary of the fiscal year 18 federal spending compromise in this edition of AFB Direct Connect. Overview of the fiscal year 2018 federal appropriations bill, funding levels, summary chart of key federal spending levels, links to bill text, and explanatory documents. You can also read this edition of AFB Direct Connect online. For further information, contact Mark Richard, Esquire, Director Public Policy, AFB, 202-469-6833. Email mrichert@afb.net. Recently, the U.S. Congress passed sweeping legislation to set spending limits for the federal government for the remainder of the current federal fiscal year, ending September 30, 2018. The legislation has been heralded by congressional leadership from both major political parties as a significant achievement and a robust compromise ending, for now, a track record of failure to pass spending proposals, keeping the federal government open for any meaningful period of time. Advocates have been very concerned about the protracted process leading up to this latest congressional compromise because of very real worries over potentially dramatic cuts to critical programs. However, on balance, programs and services of particular interest to the vision loss community have dodged the budgetary bullets and, in some cases, gained ground. A detailed chart prepared by Sarah Malier of AFB's policy and research team sets out the new spending levels for a host of programs of significant concern. The chart below, and we also link to congressional materials in full for a complete picture of the current federal spending. As a few examples of programs that have gained some ground, the American Printing House for the Blind has received a $2 million increase, and the Helen Keller National Center a $2.2 million increase. The National Library Service, manager of the Talking Book Program, received a $1.25 million increase. The Ability One Commission, formerly known as the Committee for Purchase from People Who Are Blind or Severely Disabled, the independent federal agency managing the Javits-Wagner-O'Day Program, received a bump of $250,000 over its previous funding level. While a number of programs intended to benefit older Americans dodged bullets and gained a bit of ground, of particular concern has been the Independent Living Services for Older Individuals Who Are Blind, OIB, program, which is level funded, no increase or decrease. The Special Education Personnel Program Preparation is also level funded. For those programs that have received the same or increased funding, Congress's spending compromise, which is only valid through September, nevertheless sets new and valuable funding levels for these programs for the future. Putting it another way, it would be unusual for the next Congress, should it continue to be controlled by Republicans, to appreciably cut funding for these programs next time, when they have just protected and or increased them now. Obviously, however, anything can happen, from political upsets to domestic or international affairs, that could very well be destabilizing. Advocates will continue to push Congress to recognize the importance of these key programs and services, critical to people with disabilities and to people living with vision loss in particular. In a very real, practical sense, federal spending discussions are never-ending, meaning that it is always a good time to educate policymakers about the needs and capabilities of people who are blind or visually impaired, and the investment that our country must make in order to honor these needs and capabilities. With that, see the summary chart below and links to additional material. A link to the full document is available at the Government Publishing Office, gpo.gov/fdsys/pkg/CPRT-115HPRT-29374/PDF/CPRT-115HPRT-29374.PDF. Rules Committee Print 115-66. Text of the House Amendment to the Senate Amendment to House Resolution 1625, showing the text of the Consolidated Appropriations Act 2018. From Time.com, Time magazine published an article on prosthetics, guide dogs, and wheelchairs. Here come Apple's proposed accessibility emoji, courtesy of Emojipedia. Apple proposed new accessibility emojis Friday to better represent individuals with disabilities, according to the proposal. The new emojis, which can be viewed, include a seeing eye dog, a service dog, the sign for deaf, both a mechanized and manual wheelchair, and more. Apple collaborated with American Council of the Blind, the Cerebral Palsy Foundation, and the National Association for the Deaf to create the emojis. The images include an ear with an hearing aid, a guide dog in harness, a mechanized prosthetic arm, a little girl in a manual wheelchair, a little boy signing the sign for deaf, a little girl with a white cane, a prosthetic leg, another dog in harness, apparently a service dog. He's wearing an apron across his back on leash, and a boy in a mechanized wheelchair. Adding emoji emblematic to users' life experiences helps foster a diverse culture that is inclusive of disability, says the proposal to the Unicode Consortium, the gatekeeper for new emojis. Emoji are a universal language and a powerful tool for communication as well as a form of self-expression, and can be used not only to represent one's own personal experience, but also to show support for a loved one. The proposed emoji, which were first reported by Emojipedia, would be available in different genders and skin colors, although Apple acknowledges that the potential emojis are not meant to be a comprehensive list of all possible depictions of disabilities, but to provide an initial starting point for greater representation for diversity within the emoji universe. Before the accessibility emojis could be released to the public, the proposal would have to be accepted by the Unicode Consortium, and the process is no walk in the park. Fortune detailed the steps that an emoji must go through before users can happily send the images to friends. Proposals for new emoji must make a compelling argument as to why they should be made. In Apple's proposal, for example, they note that 1 in 7 people around the world has some form of disability. An emoji subcommittee and then a technical committee select emojis, which are then put on the Unicode Consortium site for 6 months for public comment. Finally, they go to an annual committee where the final decision is made. There were initially 176 emojis, which were released in 1999. Now there are 1,182 emojis recognized by the Unicode Consortium. And as a testament to their popularity, the word emoji was added to the dictionary.com earlier this year. The Soundprints magazine for March 25th is now online. Swimming is more than a hobby. Accessible magazines. ACB collaborates with Cisco Systems. New blindfold crossword game. Apple proposes new emojis in collaboration with ACB. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Soundprints audio magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Soundprints magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind. Phone 502-895-4598. Email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Kentucky Council of the Blind, 148 Vernon Avenue, Louisville, Kentucky, 40206. Phone 502-895-4598. AFB posts this. CVI equals Consensus, Vision, and Initiative, mobilizing advocacy to improve special education for children with CVI. Thank you to everyone who tuned in to the March 14th conversation on advocacy for children and youth with CVI. It was an engaging call bringing together passionate advocates and experts who are seeking to better understand the needs of students with CVI and how to address them. However, the conversation isn't over. This call is just one step toward building consensus about what the real issues and needs are, and how best to collaborate to affect system change. Stay tuned to AFB Direct Connect for next steps and future opportunities to work together to keep up the momentum. If you were unable to join the conversation, you are invited to listen to the recording and or read the transcript. Please also share this announcement far and wide with your networks to help us get the word out about these resources. www.afb.org/media. We are running out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.